Hey everyone, my name is Dave Hudgens. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. Hey listen, we're so glad that you are here and we want to connect with you and your family. One of the easiest ways to do that is by texting the word River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, or even support the church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit us at our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning. It's good to be with you. Good to see you. Good to sing with you and open God's word with you. If I don't know you, my name is Caleb. I'm the pastor here, and it's just an honor to be able to gather together in the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay, amen. There you go. Let's go. Hey, that's all right. It's good. So, hey, we are in a series on the book of Psalms. I've said this a couple times, and I'll just keep saying this. We are not going through all 115 chapters of Psalms, okay? That would take multiple years. We are trying to do a overarching themes throughout the book of Psalms. And so this morning we'll be in Psalm 112. And so if you have a Bible, a device, something to follow along or read along, would always encourage that. I've loved preaching through the book of Psalms, studying the book of Psalms. I don't know. I know many of you have reached out and said, wow, there's so much application to the book of Psalms. I have found that so enriching in my own life, and hopefully you've found that enriching in yours. But while you turn to Psalm 112, I just wanted to, I didn't even tell him I was going to do that. I don't know if he came and sat down, but Pastor Noble is heading up north this week to preach at a student camp up in the Cadillac area. He's going to preach, I think, 9 or 10 times this week. And so I'm going to ask you to do this as a church. I'm going to ask you to commit to praying for him and praying for the students and the counselors and the leaders and the worship leaders and for safety and the gospel to be clear. And so if just by a show of hands, will you commit to praying for them, him and the campus system? Thank you so much. I appreciate you doing that. Just pray for them. He'll be, I think he's leaving today or tomorrow, I'm not sure, and then coming back Friday. And so, but excited for him. And so it's not a river ministry thing, but excited that the ministry is way bigger than the river, if that makes any sense in what I just said. And so excited for him and excited for what God is going to do in and through them. But Psalm 112, as you have reached there, is considered a wisdom psalm, okay? And so as we kicked off the psalm series in Psalm chapter 1, it was a wisdom psalm, categorizing or looking at the wise man or the blessed man. And so you can look at the contrasting statements in Psalm chapter 1 that the wise man will do this or the blessed man will do this or the foolish man will do this. And so what's great about this is Jesus echoes the same teaching method in categorizing the wise man and the foolish man and building a foundation, which we'll get to in a little bit. But the Psalm 112 gives us a realistic portrayal of what true wisdom is and what it brings in our lives. The blessings of honor, children, riches, but also the reality of adversities. And I'm going to say that again because we automatically think, all right, a blessed person, a blessed man, a blessed female, a blessed family, a blessed church, a blessed identity, right, has no difficulties. Well, Psalm 112 is not echoing that sentiment, and we'll talk through that this morning. Psalm 112 could be bookended with Psalm 111, where we look at some characteristics of what a blessed, wise person should live. And then it goes to Psalm 112, looking at some things that ultimately the attributes of what God is. And hopefully highlighting those this morning. Psalm 112 gives us 5 characteristics of what a blessed or upright man is. And we're going to talk through those this morning. I do want to say that as I echoed and I put it in my notes, I put note. I don't know why I put note, because they're all notes, but note, all right? God's blessing is not merely about prosperity, but about producing a person whose life reflects his character. I'm going to repeat that again, because if you tune me out the rest of the morning, this is what you need to hear. Psalm 111 praises, excuse me, Psalm 112, God's blessing is not merely about prosperity, but about producing a person whose life reflects the character of God. That is our heartbeat. That is our goal. That should be what we strive to do every single day. Not perfectly. I wish I could get up here and say, all right, just do everything that I say this morning and you'll have a perfect week. That'd be really cool, right? We'd have a lot more people here next Sunday. But that's not the reality of life. And so dealing with the ups and downs, the prosperity or the lack of prosperity, and how do we navigate that? And so Psalm 112 gives us a good look at that. And so let's look at the 10 verses and we'll unpack what those five characteristics are. Psalm 112 verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed is a man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. God, we come to you this morning. We praise you. We love you. We glorify you. God, ask that you speak through your word this morning. Thank you for being here. God, we praise you. We love you. We adore you. God, as we lift you up in song and sermon this morning, God, ultimately we're here gathered in your name. God, as we seek to be wise, ultimately representing you, God, reflecting you, God, give us the ability to see that. Give us the ability to do that. Give us the ability to understand when we are not doing that. God, with your Holy Spirit guiding our words, our thoughts, our responses, our actions, God, we just seek to be led by you. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this building. Thank you for every single person that is sitting in this room, joining us online. God, we are here gathered in your name. God, we lift up Pastor Noble to you as he is heading up north this week. Keep him safe. Go before him. God, may you prepare the hearts of the ones that he's going to be preaching to. God, may you prepare his heart. God, we are expecting you to do great things through him. God, we know you bring the power and authority. You bring the change. God, we pray for that. We love you. We honor you. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So Psalm 112, it's one of the shorter psalms, just 10 verses. We are unsure of the author, but ultimately we know all scripture is God-breathed. And so we know this is God-breathed, but we're unsure of the author. But as I mentioned, there are five really characteristics what a blessed man or a wise man or righteous man, and I use the word man because Psalm 112, but you can replace that with person. That's not just categorizing just men. So this is for men and women specifically. But Psalm 112 is calling us to live out these five characteristics as one that is blessed, uprighteous, or upright or righteous in their lives. As I mentioned, and I do want to throw this caveat again, and I'll repeat it probably multiple times. This psalm isn't promoting an easy life. It's describing a blessed life. A blessed life living like Jesus. In the first verse, we see the first characteristic of someone that is living a blessed life. And I think it's important that we understand this is the foundation of living a blessed life. It should be the foundation of all that we do and all that we are. The foundation of a blessed life is the fear of the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 1, praise the Lord, begins with a praise to the Lord and a hallelujah. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. You may read this at surface level and think, oh my goodness, okay, pastor's getting up and say, walk around, be scared of God, and that's how you'll be wise. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what scripture is saying in this passage. So don't hear and read that word fear and think, okay, I have to walk around fearful of what God's going to do next. That's not what this is ascribing us to do or describing us to do. What is being described here in Psalm 112 is for us to live in full reverence of who God is. Revering God, simply put, placing God at his rightful place in our lives. Realizing that God is all powerful, God is all authority, and God is in his rightful place. And we also can follow this, I'm not God. All right, that means you're not God either. None of us are God. God is the full authority. And so that understanding of walking around revering God. God, you are at your rightful place. I'm not God. You are the authority. That's the end of verse 1. The man who fears the Lord. I walk around realizing God is authority. God is in his rightful place. I may like what God does, or guess what? I may dislike what God does. I may understand what God does, or I don't understand what God does. God, I can see what you're doing, but I'm not sure. But I find myself at a place going, God, I'm placing you at the rightful place. You are the authority in my life. And then the rest of verse 1, and I delight in your commandments. I delight in your word. I delight, if you want to take it one step further, in your structure. I delight in your plan. I delight in the way you guide and lead. And one step further, correct me. And that's a hard thing. I delight in your plan. Yes, most of the time I delight in the plan of God. Or God, I delight in who you are. But the correction of God is not something I delight in. Maybe you are one that loves correction. I don't. Maybe you're one that, you know what, you need to be corrected. I do too. Don't worry, that's okay. But that's what the Holy Spirit guiding, correcting, and sanctifying us in our life looks like. God, I'm placing you at your rightful place, and I want you to sanctify, shape me, mold me. The New Testament says, who the Lord loves, he chastens or he corrects. And so the corrected hand of God in our lives is super fruitful. But we first must begin as to live as a wise or blessed person is realize and understand God is God and I am not. That simple truth is so important. And that's for your life and other people's lives, okay? It's easy to tell someone that till the rubber meets the road in your life. And you're like, okay, what did I tell them on Sunday, right? But it is placing God. That's why the Lord's Prayer begins what? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's reverence. God, I am placing you are glory, you are honor. Hallelujah, God, I praise you. Paul David Tripp wrote in his commentary, the fear of the Lord is defined not as a cowering terror or a grim obligation, but as a wholesome awe, wonder, in profound reverence. True righteousness flows from, here's this word, delighting in God's word rather than dragging oneself through reluctant duty in following it. I delight in the plan and the purpose and the calling and the correction of God. See, that fear is not terror. It's reverence. See, the fear of the Lord means, God, I place you at your highest place. You're the priority. You're the authority. You're the cornerstone of my life. That's important as we begin to look at this, the blessed man living out in our lives, because I think all of us would say, yeah, I want the blessings of God in my life. I hope that, right? I think every single one of us would want that for our kids or grandkids. We want that in our lives everywhere we go. We want the hand of God. We want the providence of God, as I talked about last week a little bit, the providence of God in our lives. This is what it begins as the cornerstone, the base truth of this is God. You are God, you are authority. I'm placing my life under your hand or in your hand, but also realizing that has to be the cornerstone base truth. This last week, my youngest daughter and I, we're getting into Legos. And so she's five, and so we love doing Legos. I just make sure she doesn't mess up what I build. But no, we have some fun, and so reading the directions and different things. And so we got this big Lego set we worked on, and we built this entire thing, and we realized we were missing pieces. We're missing pieces. And so I finished it all, and this big castle we built, and I said, Clem, it's all finished. And she said, no, it's not, Dad. I said, what? And she comes and points out the one piece that it's missing on all the pieces. Like, you're 5 years old. Stop. I did a lot of time in this. But what did she understand? What did she recognize? It was missing a piece. It's missing a piece. That happens in our lives. If we try to be our own foundation, or we try to build our lives on our own understanding, our own abilities, our own skills, our own knowledge, on us, we're missing a piece. And we're not made complete, and we can't be blessed or be wise missing a piece. That full completion only comes when we place the fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, the authority of God as the cornerstone structure piece. And that is when we can be made complete in our lives. This morning you may be sitting here thinking, what is he talking about? Guess what? Simply coming to the very understanding of God, I'm placing you as the authority, as the cornerstone of my life, is a base truth for our walking out as a Christian. God, I'm following you. Well, great. Follow him, but place him as the authority and as the cornerstone of your life, of your marriage, as your home, as your workplace, of every area of your life. That's a simple, practical truth, yet it is so difficult to live. I'm not up here thinking, yeah, I've got it all perfected. I'll show you and exactly what to do. No, that's a hard thing to do. I commonly preach this. My life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The reason it's my life verse is because I have to remind myself of it on a daily basis. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own reverence. The only one that deserves reverence is God. That's why we revere and place him at his right authority as our foundation. Let's keep going. The second truth we see in this passage is found in verses 2 and 3, where it says, his offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. See, the blessed life leaves a lasting legacy. We also see in verse 6, for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. The righteousness shall be in everlasting remembrance. What's great about this passage is we seek the very blessings of God, But the blessing extends beyond the individual described in here, where it bleeds into others around him. I love that truth, and I won't land here super long, but what's interesting is when we experience the blessings of God, others around us feeling and experience it. When we experience bitterness, others around us experience it. You notice that we don't live and die to ourselves? I find that an interesting parallel in our lives. But the blessed life leaves a lasting legacy. Proverbs says, blessed is the man who leaves an inheritance. That's not just simply a financial inheritance, but one that is spiritual. See, godly life, or a godly life, a godly parent, a godly grandparent, godly marriage, godly aunt, uncle, can leave a lifelong lasting influence to multiple generations. That's important, where this phrase, his righteousness endures forever, that is referenced in Psalm 111. It's describing God. It's describing God. What I love about this connection to Psalm 111 and 112 is it's calling the wise man to not leave a lasting legacy of themselves, but leave a lasting legacy of God. So as we have placed God at his rightful place, now we can leave a lasting legacy, a lasting memory of God in our lives. There's a great song that I love, Casting Crowns, asks the question, how will they remember me? His response is only Jesus. Only Jesus. I'll tell you this unequivocally, that is all that matters. That is all that matters in our lives. You can make a million, a billion, a trillion dollars, but that will evaporate at the end of time. You can build the biggest house. You have this job, you can drive that. But as I mentioned last year, in this life, it's fleeting. And the memory, the legacy, the lasting remembrance we've been called to be as Christians, as followers of God, is have them remember Christ through our actions, in our responses, the way we interact with one another. They see Christ in us and through us, reflecting Christ in the world around us. We've been called as ambassadors, as representatives to Christ in our lives, and we've been given that mantle to carry. But sadly, what happens is, if we become the cornerstone, if we become the most important, or the place of receiving reverence, the memory becomes about us. Guess what? I don't want the memory to be about me. I want the memory to be about Christ. Hopefully you leave every Sunday morning and think of Christ, not Caleb. I want you to think about Christ. I want you to think about how the Holy Spirit can work in your life, that application in your life. May people see that in the way we love the community around us, not so they can say, wow, the River Church is this. Guess what? The River Church is overrated. We want them to rate Christ at his rightful place. That's the most important thing that we can do. That lasting legacy of Christ is the most important thing that we can do, represent, preach, live out. In every action, may we reflect Christ. So one, in this passage, the foundation of a blessed life is the fear of the Lord. Two, the blessed life leaves a lasting legacy. Three is found in verse 4. The light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. The third characteristic of the blessed life is the blessed life shines during dark times. Darkness in verse 4 is used as a metaphor for adversity. It's important you see that follow up to verse 2 and 3 and think they're almost in opposition. You can read two and go, oh yeah, that's they'll experience wealth and riches. They have a house. The righteousness will endure forever. But then verse 4, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. Oh, that seems like the antithesis of a blessed man. No, that's the truth of our lives. So as I mentioned earlier, the promise isn't that darkness, whatever appear in our lives. The promise is that light arrives in the darkness. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. All throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, take courage, hold fast. That word steadfast. It's all throughout as a truth for us as followers. Yes, when darkness comes, not if it comes, but when it comes. When that adversity comes, the blessed man, the wise man, the righteous, the upright will have the following three characteristics: gracious, merciful, and righteous. See, trouble reveals character. Difficulty reveals character. I love to coach athletic teams. I've said this before. Get to coach all sorts of ages, boys and girls. And I always say this about a team. You find out the character of a team not when it wins a lot of games, but you find out the character of a team when it loses. You find out the cracks, you'll start to see cracks like, oh, this person doesn't like this person, or they don't get along, or they dislike one another, or they can't play together. I think in our lives, you start to see the cracks when adversity comes. See, adversity reveals character. What's the image or the illustration? When you're shaking, you'll find out what comes out, right? I think for us, as followers of Christ, to live as upright, wise followers of Christ, when darkness comes in our lives, will grace, mercy, and righteousness pour out? I read this week. Lighthouses are never built where it's safe. They're built where storms come. God doesn't remove every storm. He makes it his people shine within them. I thought, what a great imagery. What a great imagery for us as followers of Christ, as the church, as individuals that are trying to live as a light in a dark world. May, when the adversity comes in our lives, we be shaken and those characteristics pour out of our life. Max Lucado said, faith is not believing that God will do what you want. Faith is believing God will do what is right. And that's hard. But again, it's all built on truth number one. God, I walk in fear and reverence and in awe of you. God, I may not see what you're doing. I may not understand. When I trust you, people around me will see that. The blessed life shines during dark times. Some of you are sitting in this room have experienced the darkest times of your life in the last few weeks, months, years. And I want to say to you, your light has shined in my life. Your light has shined as a great testimony for me and for others that have watched you walk through that, as Psalm 23 describes, that valley of the shadow of death. The fourth truth is found twice in verses 5 and 9. The fourth characteristic is a blessed life is marked by generosity. Verse 5, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Verse 9 says he has distributed freely, is given to the poor. See, the righteous, the wise, lives a life of open hands, realizing because every good and perfect gift comes from above. God-given God provided. We are just stewards of what God has blessed us with. We're just stewards of that. We're just, God has given us an opportunity. Whether you have $1 million in your bank account or $10 in your bank account, you've been called to steward that faithfully. God's blessings in your life, that includes not just financial, that includes in your home, that includes your children, that includes your job, that includes your giftings and abilities. How are you stewarding God, what God has blessed you with? God has given you ability. Are you using it for His glory or your own glory? Living a life of generosity, open-handedness. Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." I love that statement, that phrase. I thought it was so profound. See, generosity is evidence that what God has given us, money, giftings, homes, doesn't own us. It belongs to God. See, a blessed life is marked by generosity. And lastly, the blessed life is steady during uncertainty. Almost mixed and put verse or the truth 3, the blessed life shines during dark times, and 5, the blessed life is steady during uncertainty. But I felt like they were different, and I think it'll be important for us to understand here just for the next couple minutes. Verses 6-8 says, "For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries." 3 times it mentioned his heart is fixed, his heart is established, he is not afraid. Those are important in uncertain times. See, Psalm 111, chapter 111 describes the wise man as steadfast forever and ever. I wrote this word in my notes, unflappable, unshakable, because his faith, his trust is built on a cornerstone of Jesus Christ. That's why I begin this whole message with our understanding of, if Christ is the cornerstone, if we're placing God at his rightful place, we'll begin to walk those characteristics out and they'll build on one another, similar to the Beatitudes in the book of Matthew, where we begin to see the blessed man, or blessed is the man. We'll see these truths build on one another, all by placing God at his rightful place, of realizing in the uncertainty of our world, the uncertainty of your life, the uncertainty of a relationship, the uncertainty of finances, the uncertainty of health, the uncertainty of the political sphere of our world, the uncertainty of our country, the uncertainty of all the things in our lives, we will not be shaken because our cornerstone is built on Christ. Man, the things in this life will shake you. There's things in this life that can throw you on the ground and you realize, how did I get here? It's easy to find yourself at that place. I'm not speaking to you as someone that is, hey, you know what? I've observed this. No, I've experienced that in my own life because I've placed other things as the cornerstone of my life. I placed more authority in them than ultimately God, or I placed more importance on them than the things of God. And it's not until you realize, God, you are at your rightful place. Yes, heaven and earth will pass away, but God, you are forever. And it's so important that we realize that in this uncertainty of life, my heart must be fixed. My heart is established. And I am not to fear anything in this world. Why? Because I am steady, realizing the captain of my ship is not myself, but it is Christ. And I realize, man, that's super easy to preach on a Sunday morning at 11:30. I say these things not in a jest way, but in a truthful way, that yes, there are things that you are dealing with this right now. I say that and you're going, well, Caleb, if you really knew what I've gone through, well, Caleb, if you know what's happening in my life, Caleb, if you understood all what the test said this week or what this experience was, or I've lost this person or this marriage broke apart, or I've lost this job, or you fill in the blank of the uncertainty. I realize all those things and I mourn with you through them. I never want to be a cold-hearted pastor that says, hey, just live this truth and you'll be fine. No. The weight of the things that many of you are carrying that right now in this room is overwhelming. But can I say to you, is the truth of Psalm 112 has called us, as we've placed God as our cornerstone, don't be shaken by the things of this earth. Find your cornerstone, as Hebrews says, in Christ. Find that solid rock. Find your strength in the storm. Find the light in Christ, not in yourself. I read this week. These are the most comforting verses of this passage. Bad news will come. I found it interesting in this path. I think verse 9 or verse 7 where it says, they're not afraid of bad news. I don't know if you're like me. If I know there's bad news, like in an email or a text, I just don't even open it. I don't even know it's there. You don't do that. It's just me that does that. Okay, all right. I laughed at myself this week as I was reading Psalm 112. Like, oh, if I just avoid it, it's not really there. But bad news will come. But the person rooted in God has a fixed and established heart, because their primary trust rests. And this is what I want you to hear. Man, this I think will be freeing for somebody sitting in this room this morning. Because their primary trust rests in an unchanging creator rather than a shifting circumstance. They avoid the paralyzing anxiety of the uncertainty on a daily basis. And they fix their eyes on Jesus. What a great truth that we must grasp and understand in the unchanging, or in the changing world. We have an unchanging God. Nothing catches him by surprise. I know that's weird to say at times. Like, God, what's going on? Felt that way. Corrie Ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. One of you agrees, the rest are working through it. There it is. See, the world is constantly shaken by headlines. But may our anchor be in Christ. Your circumstances may shake you. But your confidence in Christ doesn't have to. See, these five characteristics of a blessed life, a righteous and upright life. See, first, the foundation. It's the fear of the Lord. Second is, blessed life leaves a lasting legacy. Third, the blessed life shines during dark, difficult times where adversity is there. Four, the blessed life is marked by generosity. And five, the blessed life is steady during uncertainty. become unflappable. What's beautiful about Psalm 112 is the realization that we can't do every one of those characteristics. Like, what? Did you just pull the rug out on us? I did. And all those things are realizing that I can't do all those. I have been shaken by the things of this world. But one, Psalm 112 describes one that is greater, one that is higher, one that is perfect, one that experienced this life, was born of a virgin, one that lived a perfect life, one that died on a cross, one that conquered death, hell, and the grave and rose again 3 days later, one that is coming back again to get his children, that one that it is describing is Jesus Christ. So when we realize Psalm 112 is calling us to be wise, to live in that, is realizing it identifies and celebrates the characteristics of Christ. You see, he is worthy to be revered. He's a source of material and spiritual blessings. He is the true embodiment of grace, mercy, and righteousness. He's generous and full of justice. He's trustworthy and gives security. He triumphs over his adversity, and he has power over all. Today, this morning, and right now, we make the proclamation that we worship Christ and these attributes because he is worthy to be praised. We seek to emulate, to reflect those attributes that who he is, that we may live them, not perfectly, but in a life committed to living for him. Sitting here today and going, wow, those are great attributes of who God is. Yeah, that's our goal as followers of Christ, as the church, is to emulate, to reflect him. But first we must realize this great love for us is realizing that we are dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins and trespasses without him. His great love is he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to live out these perfect attributes in a broken, dark world, and take our sin to the cross and nail it to the cross and give us an opportunity for forgiveness. That's where we look at the true grace and mercy and righteousness lived out. As he was full of grace and truth described in the Gospels. That's what these attributes are. And so that's why I very commonly say we are here to worship God. That's why we're gathered. We all have different reasons why we come on a Sunday morning. Some it's just habit. Some it's kind of really struggling. Some it's, hey, you know what? I know I have to do this. You fill in the blank. But may our heartbeat be when we are gathered here this morning, whether in person or online, we come to the realization that we are here to worship Jesus. We're here in his name. We're to honor him and glorify him. Why? Because of these attributes and characteristics he's called us to live. Can I pray for you this morning? God, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. God, thank you for Psalm 112. Thank you for these characteristics you've called us to live, emulating your son Jesus, reflecting the characteristics of Christ to a world around us. God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. I struggle or stumble through them. God, thank you for blessing my life way beyond anything I ever deserve. God, I see your blessings around me, your handprints all over, God. I realize that's not a life without difficulty, without trials or tribulation or darkness, as Psalm 112 describes. But God, may we find strength and solace, stability, knowing we will not be shaken because you are the author of all things. You are in control. And I think of what Job said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, may that be our heartbeat and all things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for its application. May we live it out in a real way this week. We love you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.